This podcast is certified fresh.
Freshmediaworks.com.
This is David Rex from the Dig-A-Doo Show. That's right, the only show that's base enough to allow politicians to defend cancer. But now, you are listening to Mikey Pod, your official source for all things Mikey.
Down this fucking peace trail thing on the farm, and I got off the trail somehow, and I'm like totally lost. It's almost 600 acres here, and I can't fucking find my way out of this. And I just saw some, I don't know, it was like a fucking deer, and then it fucking, I don't know what the fuck it was, but it was running away from me, and I kind of watched it thinking it was a fucking deer. Oh shit. Oh shit. Oh shit. Oh fuck. Okay. Oh god. And then it fucking started running right at me. So I'm kind of like in a clearing right here, but I don't know if it can see me. I don't know what the fuck that is. Oh my god. Holy shit.
Can you hear that scampering? That is cats. Alright, I see 3, 4, 5 cats right now. I think there are more than that. They're waiting to be fed, but someone else does that. It's Saturday morning. I wonder if you could hear that scampering. I've never used this iRiver before. I hope it's recording. This is Americus, Georgia. It's about 7:45 on a Saturday morning, and I'm going to walk the Peace Trail. I'm talking kind of quietly because, oh, there's cat number 6 and 7. No, those cats came back out. Oh, did I count you? Anyway, my room is right by the, I was going to bring my phone. We could take pictures. I'm not gonna do that because that'll be too much of you listening to me go back. Okay, I've never walked on this Peace Trail before. Never recorded with this iRiver before. It's okay, 7:45, October 7th. Right now, I'm walking by the organic garden. Shoot, I need a camera. I can't decide what to do. I'm gonna go back and get the camera, then you can hear me walking silently through my house because Kurt is still asleep. We have roommates' issues to discuss while I'm walking, and I didn't want to do that kind of podcast from inside the house. Okay, so we're gonna walk by the cats. They're gonna think I'm gonna feed them again. And then I'm gonna go into the duplex west, and get my phone so I can take pictures. Low quality, but pictures just the same. When I walk, this thing bounces on my chest. This one's name is. It's lots of cat names to remember. It's something like Gloria or something like that. She cries a lot. Okay, I'm approaching the house. No, he won't be awake on awakening. He's 19. Again, I'm going to take this iRiver, put my cup on a propane tank. I'm going to make this a little bit shorter so it doesn't swing around on my chest.
Hopefully this will be better.
I could have had it tied on my forehead. Okay, so I thought the first Soundsync tour was going to be of dumpster diving. But it's not. Because I want to wait until we have a gang of people like the first night I went, because that was the most fun. Okay, so again, I'm walking by the organic garden. And I'm going to get the camera going. And like, there are pecan trees over to my right. The thing that's really cool about the pecan trees to me is that the way they're all lined up in rows, these were all planted, if I understand correctly, like in 1942 and 1943, and because that's what Clarence wanted to do for the first part of, you know, making money and stuff. So the organic garden I just walked by has a ton of basil, which I love, because I love basil. And when I cook in the dining hall, and I'll probably cook in my own place this weekend. I've never been to this thing. It's like an outdoor shed. There's snakes out here, but maybe they're asleep because it's a little chilly. Huh. I bet this, yeah, this must be stuff for gardening. I haven't worked in the garden. There's a greenhouse out here. And it's almost like a shame to take pictures even. I'll take a picture of the greenhouse. Because this is my Trio 650. And, well, the pictures are great for a phone. But they suck. So let me take a quick picture of the greenhouse. I'll put these all up on Flickr or something, I guess. Okay. This week has been hard. My two roommates are pigs. One of them especially. And we had a meeting this week. Okay, I'm following the signs for the peace trail. I'm going the right way. Oh, there are cows right down here. Dave Castle, you heard his wife Ellie last week. Oh, dude, they're totally fucking cows down here. You heard his wife Ellie last week. She was the one on that podcast. It was great except for all the loud noise. There's a cow! When we drove by here the other day, I didn't see the cow. How many cows do we have? Will you move? It's like, I'm such a little city dumbass. They're eating stuff. They're eating grass. There are three big old cows and then a little baby cow. I think they call those calves. Are these bulls? Did you hear that? Oh God, I hope this thing picked it up. I've been here for 3 weeks and I've never been down this trail. Okay, well, this picture's gonna suck. Let's get this guy. Hi cow, I'm taking your picture. Oh, this is a fun sound scene tour. All right, so we continue. Down here, there's a bunch of cow things. I should give the tours of Koinonia. And right here, we have some cows. And there's a little cow and three big cows. And there's the cow stuff. I'm walking by a horse trailer. Well, I just heard another moo. Okay, now I'm following what seemed like the direction to go down for the peace trail. And there are trees and no trail. Unless that's it in the middle there. I think if I take the peace trail, this is more of my wacky tour with real people. I don't see a trail, I just see trees, but let's try it anyway. Oh yeah, there's the sign that says peace trail. Okay, there was a bobcat in the cat trailer, or the cat barn, where we feed all the little cats. Okay, this doesn't look like a trail. It looks like trees. Well, this looks less like trees. They need to put in some, like, running lights or something. Indicate. Okay, this still seems like a trail. This is so retarded. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, here's a little Oscar Romero from The Violence of Love by Oscar Romero. Maybe I'll read. I must be on the trail because it's a little greenhouse thing that looks like this. I act like you're going to be able to see the picture. Oh, that picture didn't turn out very well. Let me take it again. I'll put these all in order on Flickr so you can do like a tour. It's very easy to kill, especially when one has weapons, but how hard it is to let oneself be killed for love of the people. I would not want to live the life of many of today's powerful who don't live a real life. They live under guard. They live with uneasy consciences. They live in anxiety. That is not life. This is the great evil in El Salvador. Wealth, private property as an untouchable absolute. Woe to the one who touches that high tension wire. It burns. As long as there is not greater justice among us, there will always be outbreaks of revolution. The church does not approve or justify bloody revolution and cries of hatred. But neither can it condemn them while it sees no attempt to remove the cause that produces that ailment in our society. Chills. We know that we only preach the subversive witness of the Beatitudes, which have turned everything upside down to proclaim, blessed the poor, blessed the thirsting for justice, blessed the suffering. I don't want to be an anti against anybody. I simply want to be a builder of a great affirmation, the affirmation of God, who loves us and who wants to save us. A church that suffers no persecution but enjoys the privileges and support of the thing of the earth, beware, is not the true church of Jesus Christ. What good are beautiful highways and airports, beautiful bridges, beautiful buildings full of spacious apartments if they are only put together with the blood of the poor who are not going to enjoy them? These homilies try to be this people's voice. They try to be the voice of those who have no voice, and so, without doubt, they displease those who have too much voice. I will not tire of declaring that if we really want an effective end to violence, we must remove the violence that lies at the root of all violence, structural violence, social injustice, exclusion of citizens from the management of the country, repression. All this is what constitutes the primal cause from which the rest flows naturally. It's an excerpt from The Violence of Love by Oscar Romero. Sorry that I'm reading a little bit badly. I just woke up and I wanted to come out here. And I'm drinking coffee as I go. It's fair trade, incidentally, by a coffee distribution place, Campesino Coffee, that Coinonia is affiliated with. We actually met a coffee farmer from Guatemala who lived for 10 years in the mountains with his family. And when the Civil War was over, he and 20 other families started a coffee farm. And he came and spoke to us a couple weeks ago. We videotaped it. It's a little hard to listen to because he speaks Spanish and there was a translator. I mean, it's not hard to listen to, I guess, but I don't know. It would have been long to podcast, and I wanted to interview him, but that would have involved whatever. I think I'm still on the path. We'll figure it out. So I mentioned the bobcats, which are one of the reasons why I haven't been out here yet, but I don't think they like to eat people. So all this talk about God and Jesus, where do I stand with that? I have always, well, at least since I've gotten sober, had a pretty strong spiritual belief that there is a God. But God in a way of really just using that word, because I don't know what to call that thing. And God is the easiest word to use. But then I get afraid of using that word because I feel like it alienates people. So when I say God, what I'm really talking about is that kind of force that causes people to do good things when they listen to it. And that force that brings us all together and sort of directs. But I don't think it forces. And all of that, I have no idea. I don't really think that I have the ability to understand what God is. Here's another. I think that if I try to read all of these, we're going to be in trouble. This is from Married Corrigan McGuire. It is with greatest sadness that the people of the world watch the tragedy of the horrific events on Tuesday, 11th September 2001 in America. The day of this atrocity will remain in all our memories. It has moved many millions of people to tears of shock and sadness. We share in the American people's grief during this time of need and send our condolences to all. We understand the depth of feelings of loss and pain, but we would appeal that there is no retaliation. Violence serves no purpose. Violence solves no problems. Retaliation would mean the further deaths of many more people. This would in turn add to an increasing sense of fear, anxiety, and hopelessness being felt around the world. As the human family, we need hope, and this can come from the people of the world when they rise above their immediate feelings of pain and anger at such inhumanity, and in a calmer atmosphere allow reason to guide their decisions. In this way, wisdom can find a response to this terrible atrocity, which does not add to the terrible death and destruction already perpetrated on our fellow brothers and sisters in the United States. In this new millennium, the human family has an opportunity to move away from the old responses of an eye for an eye and deal with their problems in a collective and civilized manner, benefited the great goodness that lives in every human heart. Mairead Corrigan McGuire, Northern Ireland. Let's read about who she is. Mairead Corrigan McGuire founded the Community of the Peace People in 1976, along with Betty Williams and Sirian McCowan. Mairead was the aunt of the three McGuire children who were hit by a getaway car after its driver was shot by a soldier. The deaths prompted a series of marches throughout Northern Ireland and further afield. I hear an animal. That freaks me out. And further afield, all demanding an end to the violence. Mairead and Betty went on to win the Nobel Peace Prize in 1976. I don't know if I'm saying her name right. It's M-A-I-R-E-A-D. This may be a long podcast, but I think it's going to be interesting, actually, punctuated with those things. So that was my take on God. That was Mairead's take on retaliation and nonviolence. I don't know how to talk about not retaliating very well, besides the fact that killing people is a bad idea, and that applies to everyone for me. See, represent. I have no idea how far this trail is. Yesterday I talked on the phone to Well, let's go back to the night before. We're reading Shane Claiborne's book, The Irresistible Revolution, and it's exciting to me because he is the founder of the Simple Way community. Are these birds warning me of something? I hear a car. I thought I was in the wilderness. Okay. I don't see trail here. There's a big tree. Yesterday, Brendan said they needed to get a chainsaw down here to clear away the trail. Snakes hibernate, right? Oh, there's a trail. Spider webs. Like, there are all kinds of evil and yet helpful to humans things here. Here's the trail, I think. So one of the things he went to, he's a very devout Christian. One of the things that he said was that he found in his life that he had to reject Christianity in order to follow Jesus, which says a lot to me. And part of his journey on the way to starting the Simple Way community in Philadelphia was that he went to India and worked with Mother Teresa. And one of the things that she said to him was to find his own Calcutta, which meant to find the thing that he was passionate about, that he could devote his life to doing. And people refer to him as a prophet. I don't think that's so far off. Check out his book, especially if you're not Christian, because it's really done a lot to help me. A sage, I don't know if that's the right word, clear my anger with Christians, especially seeing this circle of Christians, mostly Christians, here when we're having our book study talking about him, and they're all agreeing with me with how much the outspoken Christians suck, how much hate they profess, etc. So, I'm still walking on the peace trail. So, I was asking myself what my Calcutta was. Part of the reason I came out here was that sometimes I hate incanting the names of... Oh, it's a squirrel. Okay, this is a little scary. Oh, it's still a trail. Of Madge Weinstein, Richard Bluestein, whatever. And, but I do have to give him and people like Bicycle Mark and Kathy Kelly and the people who I've encountered in the past year or so, with instilling in me the inability to continue to live my life the way that I was. My last times in Houston, there was a bench here. I don't know how long I've been recording.
I think this is going to be a nice podcast, even though it's totally different from what I usually do. It's been 21 minutes.
So I stopped being able to, with good conscience, sort of live a life of consumption like I had before. Well, I guess I didn't stop. I became less willing. Because I think a lot of that could start again when I get to New York. If I get to New York. So, anyway, in a nutshell, that's where I was. I don't think I ever really said that's where I was that caused me to come out here and sort of start reevaluating and trying out some different possibilities. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Okay, I'm not kidding. Well, let me start reading this and we'll see if it's interesting. If it's not, I'll stop. The finger pointing at the moon is not the moon. Okay, I can't pronounce this guy's name. Tick. Not Han. It's probably wrong. I'm sorry. A Buddhist monk since the age of 16, Thay, teacher as he is commonly known to followers, earned a reputation as a respected writer, scholar, and leader. He championed a movement known as Engaged Buddhism, which intertwined traditional meditative practices with active, nonviolent civil disobedience. He set up relief organizations to rebuild destroyed villages, instituted the School of Youth for Social Service, a Peace Corps of sorts for Buddhist peace workers, founded a peace magazine, and urged world leaders to use nonviolence as a tool. In 1966, at the age of 40, he was banned by both the non-communist and communist governments of Vietnam for his role in undermining the violence he saw affecting his people. This coffee's getting cold. In 1966, they came to the United States for the first of many humanitarian visits. The Fellowship of Reconciliation in Cornell invited him to speak on ways to end the Vietnam conflict. The following year, Nobel Peace Prize winner Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. nominated Thich Nhat Hanh for the same honor. Thay's Buddhist delegation to the Paris peace talks resulted in accords between North Vietnam and the United States. Even after the political stabilization of Vietnam, he still has not been allowed to return home. Thay now lives in southwestern France, where he founded a retreat center 12 years ago, Plum Village. He continues to teach, write, and garden. He has written more than 75 books of prose, poetry, and prayers. For at least a decade, he has visited the United States every other year. His popularity in the United States inspired the mayor of Berkeley, California, to name a day in his honor, and the mayor of New York City declared a day of reconciliation during a 1993 visit. Here's a quote from him. Every day we do things. Every day we do things. We are things that have to do with peace. If we are aware of our life, our way of looking at things, we will know how to make peace right in the moment. We are alive. Amen, brother. So, the phone call. Yesterday morning, the entire staff of Koinonia was on a retreat. So the three of us interns, minus Ross, who, we'll talk about him later. Ooh, I almost fell. Oh, I almost fell again. So we were running the farm. I work generally doing products now, so there's an office that is mine. It doesn't feel like my office since I'm there temporarily. Well, I guess for the time being it is my office. So I was in there, Rosemary, who is from LA, and probably going to stay here. She refers to herself as a senior citizen, so I'll say that. She's an African-American woman. She works in the store. Kurt is 19. He was my roommate that I was trying not to wake up earlier. And he is from here in Georgia. He's an amazing young man. I hate saying young man because it makes me sound like an old, condescending man. And I don't even really think of myself as a man, but that's a whole other story. Rebecca, no, I'm not going to cut my dick off. Here's a nice clearing. The thing that's really about this place, really awe-inspiring about this place, is just how big it is. So I've been in all these trees, and now there's a clearing. There are like yellow flowers, and it's tall stuff, but not trees. It's 575 acres, this farm. I have no idea where I am. And of course, there are large electric lines. Oh, that's why there's a clearing. No, God did. Well, maybe God did intervene, but it's really the electric company. But it's beautiful nonetheless. So, Rosemary usually answers the phone, but yesterday I answered the phone on this particular phone call, and it was Jeffrey, who I've been reading his blog, and I'll have to put it in the show notes so you can see it. Oh, Clarence's Shack. I'll tell you about Clarence's Shack and take a picture of it when I get there. Okay, so Jeffrey has been living in New Orleans for a month or two, and he's working with Common Grounds Collective. Some of you remember that I said I was going to go there over spring break. And as I tend to do, I got kind of stuck in money issues and was unable to go. But that's where he is now. And once I got out here, he used to live at Koinonia, and I don't know for how long. If we can figure it out, I'm going to have him on the show. I won't go into the technical reasons why that might not work out so well. I don't think I'm on the trail anymore. And it's scary out here because it looks like there could be snakes. Maybe since I'm talking, they won't be mean. I love snakes, but not enough for them to come near me. I love snakes that are not coming close to me and are not going to bite me. Okay, snakes? Thank you. This has been a public service message. So Jeffrey calls and he tells me that he's been enjoying my podcast and how much they need volunteers in New Orleans. And I was just in New Orleans, but we stayed in tourist areas. When we were driving out of New Orleans, I got a taste of what it's like outside of the places where there are money, but not even close. This still looks like a trail, but it's really... I'm a pussy. I accept that. So, he was talking to me about how much the word needs to get out about how badly they need volunteers and how he doesn't understand why, when people are in so much, such a desperate state, that people aren't stopping what they're doing and going to help. And he also said that he's working on their website. He does the Koinonia website too. And he talked about how helpful a podcast would be. So I started thinking, this is someone telling me what God, whatever that is, perhaps wants me to do. It felt like a very direct message to go to New Orleans. And am I getting a direct message now to get out of this thing that is looking less and less like a trail? Wouldn't that be awesome if I got lost and killed and then this recorder was the last word, so y'all... Okay, this is not... well, maybe it is a trail. How do trails work? How do they stay trailish without shit growing over them? What does poison ivy look like? I have no idea. This is definitely a trail. It's probably a trail made by Bigfoot. I'm about to fall into a big hole that's covered with straw. Or perhaps some quicksand. Don't think I don't watch movies. Bigfoot, bitch. This human is mine, bitch. Well, so it seems like a trail. Sasquatch. Okay, so, but I'm really struggling with that. Yesterday morning I was like, oh, I'm going to New Orleans. That's all of the story. And the fact of that all, oh, here's another peace sign. The part about all of that is to be revealed after I read from Gandhi. Can't skip Gandhi. The board over this one reads, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I'm scratching my ass. All in respect to Gandhi. Here's another word I don't know. S-A-T-Y-A-G-R-A-H-A. Satyagraha means insistence and adherence to truth in a nonviolent manner. Initially, the term passive resistance was used to describe nonviolent protest, but Gandhi insisted that that word was more than that. Sata, I'm going to call it Sati, because I'm just going to go ahead and be completely stupid about it instead of fighting with trying to struggle it. Sati was a way of life, an evolving technique to bring change without violence. Nonviolence, or ahimsa, to Gandhi was imperative as a search for truth involved fighting injustice. Fighting injustice required one to love fellow beings, and this love demanded nonviolence. Gandhi believed it was necessary to first feel for the oppressed, then fight for justice, thus making sati a truth and justice seeking force. Honestly, I'm not making light of this word satyagraha. I just feel like it's even more sort of disrespectful to butcher it. Facing any brutality without resorting to violence demanded exceptional self-control and courage. Yeah, but Gandhi insisted that a sati could only oppose an unfair act, never a person. That's interesting. Satyagrahi, that's probably wrong, could only oppose an unfair act, never a person.
I gave you a minute to think about that. Compassion for the suffering and constructive work were necessary ingredients of Satyagraha. I don't know how to pronounce it. Sorry. Why don't I just shut up and keep going? The success of Satyagraha can be explained by that fact that anyone truly wishing to can perform a sati with or without a leader. A single person could fast and protest, a group could go on strike, women could picket shops selling foreign goods, etc. Thus, all Gandhi's satyagrahas were open to everybody, irrespective of caste, creed, sex, or age. While performing satyagrahas, Gandhi was an expert at symbolism. In 1930, when the civil disobedience movement was launched, Gandhi chose to break the salt law. The image of this frail man holding aloft a handful of salt swept India into a flurry of civil action against the British authorities, simply because the salt issue affected every single Indian. Similarly, popularization of the shakha, or spinning wheel, was due to its practical use of spinning khadi cotton as a symbol of economic independence. Methods of satyagraha included prayers, fasts, penance, strikes, defying certain civil laws, spreading literacy, removal of social inequalities, etc. Quote, India's freedom is assured if she has patience. That way will be found to be the shortest, even though it may appear to be the longest to our impatient nature. The way of peace ensures internal growth and stability. So I guess, well, unless that's a trap put in place by the wily Sasquatch, I'm okay. I really should be looking a little more, because there are sticks, and sometimes snakes look like sticks. But I've made my pronouncement to the snakes, so I should be safe. So, the funny thing about New Orleans is that I really would have to have even less stuff. It just seems like, okay, I can just as easily go to New Orleans as I could go to New York City. New York City, my sister and brother-in-law will kindly help me get settled and situated and set up a life. Or I can go to New Orleans and work with Common Ground, where they provide 3 meals a day and a cot in a building. The thing about that I hesitate, I keep wanting to say, I can't do that, but I can. Will I? Is the question. I love hearing these sounds, and here's some berries. I wonder if those are poisoned and put in place. Let me take a picture of these. Put in place by the Sasquatch to try to trick me. Hello, little red berries, purple berries. You can't fool me. Since my savings is almost down to nothing, and by the time I leave here, it will be probably nothing. If I don't go to New York and get a life going, I'm committing to a life of doing what Jesus would do. And I don't necessarily believe that Jesus existed at this point, but I do believe that he's got a pretty cool story. Oh, there's a down by the riverside trail. Oh my God, I'll do that on a different day. But there's a stream that runs through the property. Okay, now, before I continue with my proselytizing? No. Sounds like a good word to use, but it's not the right word. Now I'm in a pecan orchard. This is really beautiful. I wish I had a better camera. Does anybody have a camera that they don't use? The sun is coming through these trees, and it's going to just look stupid through this camera. There are so many things I see. Like, I've been running, and when I run, I go to the earth here is like red clay. I think that layer is right below, like, the surface layer that you see. And I have no idea what that means about. Here's a row of, like, how do they do that? I guess, I mean, it seems pretty easy. But did they have little small trees that they planted in the soil and let them grow? Or did they put pecan tree seeds? I don't know. On my first day here,
my first work day here. We rode around all these orchards in a tractor. It was a beautiful day with Matt, who hopefully I can get to be on the show. He seemed like he really was interested in doing it until I asked him if he wanted to do it. And now he seems a little hesitant. So I don't want to force anyone. Okay, I see a Peace Trail arrow, but it's just pointing along this thing. Clarence's shack is near here somewhere. And that probably will be where I end this podcast, because I don't want it to be... Is this turned around? Am I supposed to go in here? No? Well, while I'm looking, back to New Orleans, yes or no? Can I go back to living, working for money instead of working for contribution? Like working right now, like I'm doing lots of menial jobs that if I were... Something changes when you work for contributing to a community that doesn't, that you don't get when you're working for a paycheck. When I was working for a paycheck, granted I was teaching children and that was fulfilling, but working for a paycheck meant that I was constantly weighing whether what I was doing was worth the amount of money I was getting. Now, I'm not getting any money. I'm getting a $15 a week stipend. So I don't ask myself that question right now. What I ask myself is, am I doing my job? And am I contributing to this community? That's a pretty interesting thing. Because I wash dishes. And what are some of the things I've done that... well, building stuff. I've done some jobs that I really didn't like, and I would have been very angry about doing them had I been doing them for a small paycheck. But now, like, the $15 a week thing is non... Because what I'm doing, if I were to put a price on it, would equal greater than $15 a week. But, again, I didn't come here for money. Clearly, I don't think anyone's here for money, because even the people that, like the interns who are, I think I'm off the trail, but I really wanted to find Clarence's shack. The interns who are here for a year-long commitment, which is like what the next step would be if I wanted to stay, I would stay for, I'd commit to stay for a year. I'd probably continue doing the same job I'm doing now, because Alejandra, who used to do that, left. And they don't really hire people. They accept people who come to them, or don't accept people who come to them. So if I stay here, I would continue doing that. And not that they've invited me to, but if they did, and I wanted to, I would get paid $75 a week. Of course, I have room and board, and a disgustingly sloppy and gross roommate. He doesn't listen to this. And if he does, well, when he gets back Monday, I'm probably going to tell him, because we had a very nice meeting, and it's pretty funny. We had a meeting about keeping the duplex clean, and it's disgusting. It was disgusting when I got here. I don't know whether that's because this one roommate had been here before me, but it was pretty dirty. And I started trying to clean it up until I realized that this guy is disgusting. I shouldn't say it like that, but, well... Okay, so he puts half-eaten food, unwrapped, on a plate with a fork in the refrigerator. To me, that's pretty gross. Especially when it starts rotting. Or there are all these grapes that grow out here, sculpinons. He and my other roommate have this weird, like, obsession with these things. And they're constantly picking them and putting them in the refrigerator and not eating them. So they rot. And they stink, and when they're rotting, and now I don't even like the things, because all I can think about is seeing them rotting in the refrigerator. I'm trying again to get on the Peace Trail. Sounds like I need, oh yeah, here it is. So we had this meeting. I talked to the hospitality people, and they were like, oh, we should be having intern meetings anyway and planning how to do chores in the houses. This is part of living in a community. And I wanted to move out. I wanted to move into a different place, and that's not why I'm here. I'm here, and one of my reasons about wanting to live in community is so I will be forced to learn how to deal with things like that instead of running away from them. So we have this meeting. We all agree that we're going to work together. This weekend, we're going to scrub the shit out of that place, and then we're going to do our part to keep it clean. Well, hold please. Martin Luther King Jr. Martin Luther King was born in Atlanta into a family of pastors who fought for civil rights. Rooted in the African American Baptist Church, he decided to become a pastor himself. Dr. King was a pivotal figure in the civil rights movement. His concepts gave black and poor people a new sense of worth and dignity. The philosophy and strategies of nonviolent direct action and social change galvanized the conscience of this nation and brought significant changes. Montgomery buses were desegregated in 1956 after the Supreme Court declared Alabama's segregation laws unconstitutional. The Voting Rights Act of 1965 went to Congress as a result of the Selma to Montgomery March. He was arrested 30 times for his participation in civil rights activities, was assaulted in Chicago, and his house was bombed. His courageous and selfless devotion gave direction to 13 years of civil rights activities. Dr. King was shot while standing on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee on April 4, 1968 by James Earl Ray. Here's my quote. Perhaps this applies to my roommate right now. Don't ever let anyone pull you so low as to hate them. We must use the weapon of love. We must have compassion and understanding for those who hate us, that they are not totally responsible for their hate. But we stand in life at midnight. We are always on the threshold of a new dawn. Can you hear that? Probably not. It's not very loud. I think it's a woodpecker. Okay, meditation place and peace trail. That's the sign that's just buried in here. And there's a picture of a Blackburnian warbler. So the funny thing, and I'll include this photograph in the Flickr collection, is that yesterday morning I got up after we had this discussion and I said, when I bought all these plastic containers, what I really meant was, please use these, not you can use these. It grosses me out to see unwrapped food in a refrigerator, especially when it's half eaten and your fork is still on the plate. Oh, spider web. I get scared of these spider webs because I think there are some like, is this still the trail? Maybe this podcast should be called, Is This Still the Trail? Okay, so yesterday morning I get up. The coffee is made like this. He fills, you know the basket where you put the coffee in? He fills it to the top with coffee. So that when the coffee is made, please don't be poison ivy, whatever this stuff is. There's grounds and water dripping over the top onto the table, and the coffee is disgusting. So I was like, well, we had our meeting. I'm going to be patient with what's going on. I open the refrigerator, and there on the top shelf is a meat thing with sauce wrapped in a paper napkin, barely. Is this wrapping food? Maybe. Maybe that's what he thinks wrapping food is, but it's not. And I took a picture of it, so you'll see it on the Flickr site. It horrified me at first, and then it made me laugh. I hear someone or something. Dun, dun. There's some animal out here. It's probably a jackal. This is the last you'll hear from me. Mikey Pod, signing off. Is it like a rabbit? There are deer and stuff out here too. If I see a deer, I will probably cry like a little bitch. I just have to keep things from getting too sweet, don't I? So anyway, oh Jesus, that is a long ass spider web. See, when I run into stuff like that, all I think about are these movies where you get trapped in a giant spider web and a 7-foot spider comes out from between the trees and wraps you in a cocoon and you die. Any second now, I'm a little freaked out right here because it's kind of dark. And I could really get lost. Okay, I'm definitely freaked out right now. But this was definitely a... Oh, the trail goes this way. Dun, dun, dun. The fact that I'm not talking means I'm so freaked out. I don't know if I'm on the trail anymore and all I see are trees all around me. This is a trail, but I don't think it's the trail. Yeah, I'm going back. I think. I see something. I think I see Clarence's shack. Clarence built this shack. Yeah! Okay, if I die, I'll die where Clarence died, in Clarence's shack. Is this his shack? Clarence is actually buried out here somewhere. They had so little respect for him as a community. When he died, he was returned here, naked, dead, and completely untreated. I don't think this is Clarence's shack. This is somebody's... Oh, this is the meditation place we were... I just read about. This may have to be... Maybe I'll end the podcast where... Okay, this is really beautiful. You know what? I'm going to end part one here. I'm going to do a part two. Because really, I don't think I can record longer than... Oh.